good to be back. Sick last week. Was in Virginia this weekend killing my body, so glad to be back all in one piece and appreciate everyone thinking about me and all that good stuff. You know, there are some things that are just simple. And there are some things that are difficult, quite frankly, right? And when you think about things being simple, you might think about someone as being simple. We don't mean that as a compliment most of the time, do we? That person is very simple. We might think that they are a little slow on the uptake. We might think that they don't dress well enough. There's just some kind of, they're just too something about them, right? Well, but then there are concepts and things that are simple. And it's because they're easily understood. You can easily understand them, or they're not made up of a lot of different complex parts. It might have one or two different things, and Corey's shaking his head over there as a chemist, and I'll reference him in a moment. But there are many things that are much more complicated than the simple things in life. And so when you think about the simple things in life, I wonder what comes to your mind. It might just strictly be being alive. It might be having clothes to wear or a shelter or whatever the case. That's just simple. Bare minimum, so to speak. Well, when we think about concepts that are simple, I want to ask you a question. You tell me if this one is simple or complicated. What is a noun? Most of us, probably, that are above the age of like 6, maybe 7, can say what a noun is. Because we learned that at about age 6 or age 7, right? And what is a noun? It is a person, place, thing, or idea, is what all our elementary or grade school teachers taught us to say. Well, how when I'm trying to figure out the part of speech in a sentence, oh, is that a thing? Is that like we get that. And you can still do that even to this day. It's a person, it's a place, it's a thing, it's an idea. That's a noun. That's not complicated, is it? What about when I ask you a question, well, what is a paradox? There's probably several of you in the audience that are like, well, I know what it is, but I can't really define it. It's this thing or it's that thing. And I'm just going to tell you, it's actually more simple than that. It's actually just a pair of boat docks. I got to tell you, that was not my joke originally, but someone pulled that on me. And I knew what a paradox was, but I didn't see the punchline coming. And it's just great because I ask people this all the time when I'm trying to get under their skin. Like, and you got to ask it very sincerely, by the way, so you can pass this along. Like, you ask, like, what is a paradox? And you got to act like you really want to know the answer to it. Then you can just put the joke right in the face. But I'm not here to teach you jokes, just delivery of jokes. But a paradox is where something seems to be logically impossible. It goes against what you know to be sound, what you know to be true, and so it's defined in this way. A seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. Can anyone regurgitate that to me real quickly? That's a complicated thing. Well, what makes it so complicated? It's made up of a lot of different parts. It adds what you already know. It gives something else, and you're like, hold on. Those two things don't seem to go. So the illustration of a paradox is, he who humbles himself will be exalted. The normal thinking is, he who exalts himself, or he who is exalted, exalted himself. He said, no, no, no. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled or abased. Right there is a paradox. Those things seem to be contrary of how can you lower yourself and yet be exalted. That's the idea. And most of us probably understand that, and most of us probably illustrate that. But if you're asked to define what that word is, good luck, right? I just want you to understand some things are not simple. Some things are hard to understand. And some things are hard to explain. That's not a problem. That's really the way it is. I want you to think about what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 as he concludes his letter to these Christians that he's written to before, and as he reminds them of the things that they already know and reminds them of the coming of the Lord again, he kind of closes out with the statement about verse 15. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them in these matters. Now these are some things, there are some things in them that are hard to understand. And the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. The truth is, when it comes to biblical concepts, there are some difficult things to understand. That is okay. Don't be ignorant and unstable and twist them. Just don't know them. It's okay. We'll get there and we'll see. There are then other things that are hard to explain. Paradox, for instance, right? But consider Hebrews 5, that passage that Jeremy read for us in Hebrews 5, verse 11. And we'll come back to this passage at the end of the lesson. But notice verse 11, as the Hebrew writer is writing to these Christians, he says, "And about this we have much to say." And he's introduced this character of Melchizedek from back in Genesis, who was both king and priest, and how Jesus is after his order, quoting from the Psalms. But kind of in the middle of that thought and in his explanation is, well, we have much to say about this. And it is hard to explain. And he gives a reason why that thing is hard to explain, since you have become so X, Y, Z, and we'll talk about that at the end. But sometimes your audience makes things that should be a little more simple, more complicated to say and instruct and explain. Long introduction, but here's the point. Today, we're going to look at it's okay to have complicated and difficult things to understand. That's just the way it is. But what we're going to find out is that I don't need to be a person that things are difficult to explain to because of me. And that will make more sense as we get into the lesson. Let's start with some things that are hard to understand. I want you to just put these ideas up. Are these concepts simple or complicated to understand or explain? You ready for this list of things here? By the way, this is a completely arbitrary list. I just threw them up there. Creation. I'd say probably people in the audience, some would say it's simple, some would say it's complicated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For you, that is black and white. For you, that is simple. Someone else may read that and say, okay, but did he bring it about by a big bang? Did he bring it about? And I know Michael talked about that. I think it was last week or what have you. Where is it really that simple? Well, I'm not here to say one way or the other. I'm just saying that you look at that thing and with your glasses and with your understanding, that's simple to you. Or that is very complicated to you. What about that there is one God? There aren't multiple gods. There's one God. That's an easy thing for them to get. They read Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. There is no other. There is one God. There is no other besides Him. You read that verse, you're like, yeah, I got that. Well, other people are like, well, hold on. Well, what about like karma? And what about like Mother Nature? And what about all these other things? And it's not as complicated. It's not as simple to them. Or maybe there is actual belief of other deities and of other gods. Something that you think is very simple might actually be more complicated to someone else. Or you think about the idea of the Trinity. That, yeah, there's one God, but it's made up of three persons. I think all of us are sliding that one to the complicated one. If anyone wants to say that that one is simple, come talk to me. Like, that's really hard to understand. It's even harder to explain. That's a difficult one. Or the law of Moses. I guarantee all of us in the room are like, yep, law of Moses, complicated. There are a lot of laws, and this is the day, got to get on the right day, got to do all, you know, like, it takes a lot of work and a lot of understanding for the law of Moses to become simple. And I dare say to the Jews of the day, of back in the day, and Jews of today, and Gentiles back in the day, and Gentiles of the day, guess what? No one regarded the law of Moses as a simple thing. It's very complicated. Well, what about the fact that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Messiah. To you, that might be cut and dry. You might read Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, let the house of Israel know for sure that this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. Do you read that verse? And that's very simple for you to get. Oh, they killed the guy, but he's raised from the dead. Oh, that's what Psalm 16 was talking about. That might be simple for you to get. Well, not as simple for others to get. They might have had some other expectation in their mind. And it's just not that simple. And then, point blankly, salvation. In your mind, how a person is saved might be so simple, but I'm going to tell you, by definition, salvation is complicated. Remember how we saw that one of the definitions of easy or simple is that it is not of compounds, it is not of complex things? Salvation is made up of a lot of different pieces. But yet you might understand those pieces. And so therefore, it might be simpler for you to understand that concept, even though it is difficult in its own right. You understand what I'm saying here, is that when we look at these biblical things, to me, it might be simple. To you, it might be complicated. Or vice versa. And I'm here to tell you that's okay. But where are we going with that? Let's get to the things that are hard to understand. So back where I'm from in Alabama, there are a ton of rocket scientists. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard the phrase, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I got to tell you, I know a lot of rocket scientists, and they are very smart people. But I can figure out some things that they can't figure out in common sense. But I say all the time at work, we aren't dealing with rocket science here. You see someone walk by you, you say hello. Like, it's not complicated. It is so simple to just do that. It's not simple to send somebody to the moon or some... in fact, Matthew, he was working for NASA down at Kennedy Space Center growing food and trying to figure out all this kind of stuff for how people can survive in that environment. Not simple. Very complicated stuff. But yet, to him and to others, guess what it probably is? It's pretty simple. You got brain surgeons. Look at that. Boy, if I got into that surgery, wouldn't stand a chance, wouldn't know what in the world I'm looking at. And you're coming out dumber than you started. It just isn't working, right? But to a brain surgeon, is that difficult of a thing? No, it's pretty simple. You might even hear your doctor say it. This is a pretty simple procedure. We're going to cut right into the spine. We're going to go right in. And we're all looking at him like, simple? How is that simple? Well, or Corey over here in the chemist. A doctor in organic chemistry. Okay. I know that carbon is an element. You think about that periodic table of elements, right? Back to your chemistry days. What? And we talk about what? Water? H2O? We throw that out there? Yeah, that one's... Well, how in the world did we get the 2H and the 1O? You understand why I do what I do and not what he does?
But you understand that, right? That's complicated to some of us, but it's very simple. It's very basic to others. So how does someone that has this very difficult understanding or this difficult subject, how do they make that more simple? How do they make that less complicated for us lay people?
I would argue that it starts with knowledge and understanding of how something works. I want you to consider Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to consider Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Again, I'm picking up in the context or in the middle of a statement about how Christians are to live their lives. But there's a statement that is made in verse 17 of therefore, based on what he's just previously said, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, Wes, what are we talking about? That is just a verse that just is a matter of words. Okay? The things that he lists in the previous verses are things like wickedness and darkness and sexual immorality and all these different things. Okay? So let's just think about it for a second. If you've never been told that sleeping with someone that is not your spouse is wrong, is that something that you know? Maybe inherently there's a little bit, right? Maybe there's a little bit of conscience or something along those lines. But you don't know that it is black and white. You haven't been able to show. Because maybe someone has told you, you know what, it's really not that big of a deal. Like there was back then, and so it's not that, right? But you pick up and you read this passage and you see these things, or these unfruitful works of darkness and all these other things. Whoa, now you know something that you didn't know before. You know something is wrong, but maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you're able to say what the word is, and you're able to read the word in English, but you have no understanding at all of what that means. Well, I want you to step back and I want you to think about it for a second. Is understanding just knowing what it means? No. Understanding is more than that, isn't it? It is a very intimate thing. It is where you get how it works. You get why it works. You get the complications and you understand the ins and the outs of it. So that it's not just you know the facts or you know the body part or you know the elements, but you know how they work together. So like for Corey, when you combine two hydrogens with one oxygen, we all know that it's going to be water. I'd love to know the most complex thing that he would say. You put these, you give him two elements and you throw them together, I bet he could tell you what it makes. Because he understands it. So how do I get to understand the things of God so that I not only know what it says, but I understand what God says? Well, it starts with inspecting what God has to say. When you say inspecting, I want you to think about that surgeon for a second. They look over the whole thing that they're going to be working on. So again, let's use the brain. They look over the entire head. They do all the scans to see what the issues are before they ever go in and do the surgery, don't they? They see it in the big picture, so to speak. And then what do? They then go in and they dissect it. Now, this has started a long time before in classes, and maybe as kids when operation, or it goes back a long way where you've been going through and you've been seeing how these things are connected. So you remember back to your first science class or science class where you did your first dissection? I dissected a frog. And I got to tell you, I had no idea what was inside that frog, except for the teacher saying, now you see this thing right here? That's its heart, or that's its lungs, or that's its this, that's its that, right? The surgeon already understands that because they've gone through the anatomy classes. They've gone through all these things. They got the knowledge. But the knowledge is nothing until they open up the brain, and there it is, right? Okay, so what in the world am I saying? When you go in and you look very closely at something, the inspection is on a grander scale. When you go in and you dissect it, you're looking very closely. And you're investigating every single part. And you're seeing where those different parts run and what those things are connected to, right? So think about how you might do that with a Bible verse. We did this morning downstairs in our class. We just randomly picked a verse. We picked 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1 as the old method there. You might know the actual words that are there. But we went through and it was great, right? So you ready? Paul, an apostle, okay, and then we defined apostle, of Jesus, name Christ. And I said, well, what does Christ mean? And this is not to hate on the class, but they all said it wrong. No one got it right. You would think that's very simple. But to them it wasn't, and I'm not upset about that. But do you know what it means when you read the word Christ? Did you dissect that? You know that it means anointed. It doesn't mean Savior. It doesn't mean Lord. It means anointed. Well, that's very simple once you've dissected it. Okay, so here's the point, right? You went in and you looked at every little piece of that verse. Well, did that explain to us what the verse was saying? No, but it gave us an understanding of it. We're now getting to know this better, and so you connect it. So you know what you find. So you're looking in your Bible and you're reading a verse or you're reading a passage or you're studying a topic and you note it. You actually write the thing down. Or you type it in an email. Or you put it in a file somewhere because you got to remember what you saw. Right? So all the anatomy and physiology classes or the periodic table of elements, you had to write it down, you had to memorize it. So I imagine there was a test somewhere along the way where you had to, if you're a nurse, you had to list out all the pieces of the body, right? They gave you a chart, you did it. Or the same thing in the periodic table of elements. Now draw me the table and all of them. That's just knowledge. But you're putting it all together. So you note it. You write it down. Well, now that you've kind of read those things and you kind of got those things, do you consider it? Actually, think about that. Like, what is that thing actually doing there? Like, I know that it's connected here, but what is actually the purpose of that thing? Why would that be here? It seems as me that it should be over here, but yet it's over here. And really just start to just think about it. And you're considering it, and you're looking at the whole thing. Like, what's going wrong here? Isn't that what doctors are kind of doing? They know how it's supposed to be. And they're finding those things that are out of place, and they're saying, well, how did it do that? How did it get over there? Because they understand it. And they understand other things, and they consider it. So then what you do, you file it away. It's easy to file the things that you've thought about and the things that you have written down away today, isn't it? Eddie has sermon notes, digitally speaking, from what, 2007, was that right? Give or take. 11 years worth of sermon notes he can go back and find very easily. I got them from a little less than that. But you understand that concept. Back in the day, when you actually took down notes and you actually filed these things away, guess what you had to do? Break out the old drawer of the filing cabinets. You had to go through, walk in this office right here. You want to find a correspondence course, good luck. You got to go through all this stuff. Our life is so much easier today. All I got to do is type it in my phone. Type it in my computer. Boom, there it is. So that when I come across something, guess what I'm able to do? I'm able to go back over here to this thing that I found in this passage or this verse. And I'm able to compare it. I'm able to see how those things work because I filed it away for later use to where it's easily found. Well, too often we don't file things away. We might make a note of it, or we might not even make a note of it. We might just say, oh, yeah, that's cool.
And then we just go on with our merry way. And so guess what? We never really have the true knowledge and understanding of those things. And so therefore, this thing is very difficult to explain. It's because I don't really understand the thing, because I haven't really put in the work to understand the thing. And one of the things that helps you know if you know something or not is when you have to explain it to somebody else. Someone's going to ask me, what was your sermon about today? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Do you understand? But if I thought ahead, this is what my sermon is about, guess what? I can explain it to you in a sentence. And if you can't explain something in a sentence, remember all your English teachers? They made you give your thesis. And we thought as kids, man, this thesis is dumb. But then when you go back and you think about it, the thesis really does give you purpose and understanding so that the person that's reading the thing, they know right off the bat what they should be hearing, what they're thinking about. So what was the thesis I told you? There are some things that are difficult to understand. And then there are some things that are hard to explain. We go to Hebrews 5, and I want you to notice a few things of why it's hard to explain. We're just going to do this very rapid fire. Because the truth is, again, it's just hard. Some things are hard. But sometimes we make things harder than they have to be. Agree? We do. I want you to notice what the Hebrew writer says in verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since or because why you are slow of hearing. He's like, I got these things to say to you, but you got your headphones in. You aren't listening. The word there, that dull, is the idea of slow. You just aren't getting it. Because you're slow to it. And he doesn't say that's okay. It is okay in some senses, but not to this group of people. To this group of people, verse 12, for by this time you ought to be teachers, but yet you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Is he saying they need complex food or simple food? The most simple. But yet that's not the way it should be right now. They need something more, but they haven't done that because their ears wouldn't allow anything more to come in. So notice what he says in verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk, the simplest thing, he is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. See, sometimes it's hard to explain because people are inexperienced in the Word and they're actually babies. It's okay to be a baby at first, isn't it? But when your kid starts to be 4, 5, and they're acting like a baby, is that okay with your parents? It's not okay, is it? You expect them to be understanding. When I say no, guess what? I mean it. And guess what? I expect you to be able to figure out some things on your own as they get older and they grow up and all these different things. Well, that's what the Hebrew writer is saying here to this group of people, is that they should have known better, but yet they needed somebody else to teach them the most basic thing ever because what they liked was the most basic thing ever. You wouldn't just let your kid just have milk all the time, would you? I think back to those words with milk. It does a body good. Not milk. It is the only food. Because you know what's for dinner? Meat is what's for dinner. Like, you know, it's all those things you become baby because you're inexperienced. Do you find yourself inexperienced in the word of righteousness? If you do, you might have to step back and ask yourself the question, should I be inexperienced in the word of righteousness? Or should I be more experienced in the word of righteousness? But notice how he keeps going in verse 14. But solid food, who gets to eat the good stuff? Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. What he's saying is it's hard for me to explain it to you because you're not habitually exercising your Bible. You're not regularly in the thing. You're only drinking the milk. But yet the mature, they're out there working every single day. So yesterday running 26.2 miles in my mind was simple. To you, very complicated, right? But do you know what I'm doing 6 to 7 days a week? I'm running mile after mile after mile. It's not that complicated to me. It might be still hard. It might be difficult. But it's a simple thing. Just run. You want to know your Bible? Get experience with it. Remember we talked about our sword, the Word of God, a few weeks ago? We talked about how the snipers, they know their weapon in and out. And I asked the question, how well do you know your weapon? Well, the Hebrews, they didn't know their weapon very well. And they should have known it better. So sometimes I make it hard to explain because I'm very immature. I don't like those things. And so he says in chapter 6 and verse 1, there's a danger to that. The danger is, therefore, let us leave the elementary principles of the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. I found that word go on or press on some of your things. It literally means to carry the burden. I found that very interesting. You got to start carrying your own weight. You can't be relying on somebody else all the time to spoon feed or to give you the bottle. You got to take it yourself, is the idea. So I want you to think about that in relation to 5 and verse 12. You need someone to help you out. But by this time, you ought to be teaching. See, here's the problem. You need to move on. You need to be helping somebody else understand the more simple things or the more complicated things. But yet you are stuck wanting to be spoon-fed. Or you keep going down in your text and you'd read a little further, again, thinking about verse 12, that in essence what it's saying is you need to stop wasting somebody else's time. You see, when you ought to be in a different place than what you are, and you're requiring somebody else to come back, you know what they're doing? You're making their job a lot harder and you're wasting their time. You ever thought about that from your own spiritual standpoint, your own spiritual thing? That if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and I should, that is wasting someone else. Now, Michael and I will tell you this. If you got a legit question that you should know but you don't know the answer to, guess what? That's not wasting anybody's time. And maybe you've wasted enough time not taking the food and all of that. And you're ready, guess what? That's not wasting anyone's time. That's not wasting our time. That is very much the good use of our time. But maybe I always need somebody to remind me of things that they've already taught over and over and over again. So how many times we got to go over this? Right? When you should have had it by now. And here's the real danger, and I don't have time to read this, verses 4 through 8. The real danger is that because you're dull of hearing, you may never listen anymore. The slower you get, and the less you listen, and the more you hear it, it's like the ground that the rain falls on it, he says. And it brings forth fruit. But the fruit is for not only the ground, but also for those that are around it. But if the ground doesn't bring forth fruit, but yet it springs up some vegetation, some plant, and that plant does not bring forth fruit, that plant is going to be taken apart and burned up. It is ready to be burned. Wes, what in the world is that saying? That's saying, I'm getting rained on by God, right? And I am that plant that is supposed to grow up and benefit other people by producing fruit. But yet if I'm not producing that fruit, not only am I not helping anyone else out, God said, I am not pleased with you, and I will burn you, and you're not coming back. You understand why it's so dangerous if we only focus on the things that are easy to understand? When he's saying it's time to move on. Am I a person that needs to carry on to maturity? It's time for me to carry that burden, do a little more on my own at home, or sending an email to do more to understand and not be inexperienced or unskilled in the Word of God. Is that what I need to do? Or maybe I'm one of those that needs to understand the things that I know even better so that I can more simply give that to somebody else because I know it in and out. And there may not be many things that I know a lot about. But if you add one thing, then you file it away and you add something else, and you file it away and you add something else, you know what you got before too long? You're not just one weapon individual. You're very multifaceted. You've got many different things you can do. You're a five-tool player, to use the sport analogy. Won't we do that? Tonight, we're going to practice gaining some understanding and knowledge on one of the most basic Bible passages of all time, Psalm 23. Okay? So we're going to just practice this in general and see if you can learn a little something tonight from Psalm 23. Maybe this morning you're ready to become a Christian. I appreciate the extra couple minutes there. If you're ready to become a Christian, if you're ready to be baptized into Jesus and have your sins washed away because you understand that that's what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation here to help you in something. Why don't you come now as we stand and as we sing.